About. That's what we do. That's what we're effective at. That's why you need to be part of us. That's why you must join those who have called 877-500-5266. Right, Gene?
That's right. Or you can do it online, kboo.fm, that donate button. You know, there's a whole bunch of 40 hours of podcasts on that jump drive. And you can get that as a thank you gift for calling us right away. For $10 a month, a $10 a month membership can arm you with that kind of information.
$10 a month, the number to call, 877-500-5266. Let me give it to you again. We've got just a few seconds to get in on this hour and make your point. 877-500-5266.
Make those phones ring.
Yeah,
come
make
on.
Us happy. We'd love to hear from you.
Cable would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by The Waffle Window, with multiple locations in Portland and Bridgeport. With a specialty in savory and sweet waffles, The Waffle Window offers seasonal specialties with a twist, serving breakfast and lunch, open daily from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. or later. Lunch was provided by Godey's Texas Style Barbecue, located in Vancouver, Washington at 15640 Northeast 4th Plain Road. Open Tuesday through Sunday, Godey's serves Southern cuisine such as barbecue and sandwiches for lunch and dinner. Dinner was provided by Radio Room, located in Northeast Portland at 1101 Northeast Alberta Street. Open daily from 9 a.m. to 2 a.m., Radio Room is a lounge that serves new American cuisine and drinks. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of another PDX Music Video Festival and Concert on Saturday, April 13th, from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Another PDX Music Video Festival and Concert is an all-ages event featuring 90 minutes of music videos from 26 Portland music artists. There will also be live performances by Skull Dive, Camp Crush, and Sam Dinsmore. Again, that's another PDX Music Video Festival and Concert on Saturday, April 13th, from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO, KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. It is our spring drive. And next up on KBOO is Preference with Hedda. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Portland State University Hatfield School of Government, offering a master's degree in health administration for those who want to make healthcare equitable through quality leadership and effective policies. More information online at pdx.edu/Hatfield School.
Thank you. Welcome, dear listeners. This is Preference. Thanks for joining us on the weekly Queer Boo Hour. Twice a month, we bring Preference to you. Thanks to everybody listening. Thanks to Somia for being in the booth and making this happen. Thanks to all our volunteers and staff, and to you, the listeners, who make radio happen. We have in the studio Melissa Lang, and in a moment, Robin will. We're welcoming them to come talk about GLAPN, the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest, and the Queer Heroes Project. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Actually, it's going pretty well.
Yeah, is the fundraiser going well?
I believe so. We're gonna find out how that is in a little bit. We're gonna take a little break and talk with folks about how you, the listeners, can contribute to the station and help us keep community radio on the air. Robin, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Is that okay?
That's we're good. Everybody's mics are on. I'm so glad you're here. Why don't each of you give us a little intro about yourselves, and then we'll talk about the organization and the work.
Okay, my name's Robin Will. I'm a native Oregonian, graduated from Benson High School in 1966. I'm now president of GLAPN. It's an awkward acronym for Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest. If we started late, we've been around for 22 years. If we started more recently, we probably would have called ourselves something besides gay and lesbian, because we are actually inclusive of everybody in the LGBTQ rainbow. But we're the region's only queer historical society.
Melissa?
Yeah, my name is Melissa Lang. I am vice president of GLAPN, and I'm a historian, and I work at Sisters of the Road.
Wonderful. All right, let's talk about what GLAPN, Gay and Lesbian Pacific Archives of the Pacific Northwest. In my head, I keep making that mistake, but over and over, but only once out loud so far. Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Let's talk about.
So essentially, GLAPN works to remedy LGBTQ absences in the archives. Archives can shape a community's identity for generations to come. Therefore, if there are gaps, like there have been for most of history in terms of LGBTQ experiences and people, then those experiences and people are erased from the makeup of a community. Mm-hmm. This goes for Black archives, women's archives, Native American archives, etc.
Just as a side thought, are there archivists and historians working on similar archives, just as you mentioned, in the area?
Do you LGBTQ specific or?
African American, women's history.
So, indigenous communities absolutely hold many of their own archives for reasons of colonialism and white supremacy in the region. I'm not familiar with Black archives, but I'm familiar with groups who advocate for the submission of Black archives into, you know, institutions like the Oregon Historical Society, Portland State University Special Collections. And that's essentially what we do. We don't hold archives, but we help transfer archives. So we advocate for them. Communities should, you know, be in discussion when archives are being processed, because every community has, you know, a different view of what's significant. So we kind of advocate for those voices and to essentially go to these institutions and say, hey, we have these papers. We really would love it if you held them. So that's a big part of what we do.
So where is this the source material coming from?
It comes from members of the community, personal papers, and personal and organizational papers. We're getting more and more digital material as years go by. But scholarship that has stacked up that isn't published anywhere else. I'd like to respond to your other question. There is a queer archive at Oregon State University. And there is a big queer collection at University of Oregon. Linda Long has done spectacular work gathering the history of the women's land movements, the lesbian women's communal land movement from the 70s and 80s. There's a spectacular collection of that there.
That's wonderful. You know, when I moved to Portland, I was 92, I moved from the East Coast. And the only thing people, there were two things people knew. One, that Portland had a basketball team. And two, that there were the word people used was sort of radical, self-sufficient communities trying to set up on rural land in Oregon. That was literally, those were, that everyone I knew put together, that was everything that they knew about Oregon.
Well, but
so yeah. I was really...
there was a lot of that going on. First of all, communal living is very difficult. It's another layer of authority and acceptance over what everyone else deals with in terms of law. And second of all, I speak from experience. Rural living is very difficult. with the mud and the animals and the crops and what have you. Those things tended not to last. But they were, but there are still some around. There are still some. The Radical Fairies have a sanctuary in Wolf mm-hmm. Creek, for instance.
Yeah.
And so there are still some communities of that nature.
Yeah, I didn't say how that go for you.
In Oregon.
Yeah, in particular to the women lands movements, they were prolific publishers, so that information really, you know, got across the country.
Yeah, they documented everything, and they managed to, mm-hmm. Managed to get it into the press.
We are going to take a break from this conversation with Robin and Melissa about Glappin. We're going to talk with Somia and Jean about how you can help support community radio in Portland.
Thank you so much, Alan. Hey, Jean, are you there?
I am, Somia.
Wonderful.
I'm right here.
So I would say this is probably one of the most important hours in my week when Queer Boo is on the station.
Yeah, me as well. You know, I am one of the co-hosts for Transpositive PDX, which airs in this time slot on the first Tuesday of each month.
And so why is this show important for you? Why is this time slot important
for you? This time slot is so important to me as a queer person. And, you know, the fact that we have this this voice, this opportunity, and that KBOO's public affairs programming invites so many diverse voices to the mm-hmm. air.
Yep.
You know, we don't get this opportunity elsewhere.
It's so true. Yeah, this is so true. And if you have a membership to KBOO, your membership empowers people in our community to offer news, information, a perspective that's very relevant to our lives. I think more than ever, we live in a time when diverse perspectives are not only trendy, but they're actually important for moving society forward.
Absolutely.
And you and I are both people who are in marginalized groups in the city and in this country. And to have our voices broadcast over the air is very important and just very impactful for change. And so all the members, all the yes. people who donate to the station are contributing to that change. And
absolutely.
That's so important.
And for those of you that are listening to us right now in this time slot, okay, this is something for you. It's something for us collectively. And we want you to be a member. We want you to help. We want you to participate. Here's how you do it. Online, KBOO.FM. Hit that homepage. The donate button is prominent. It's easy. It's secure. Or call us. Make the phones ring right now. There are people here waiting to take your call. 877-500-5266.
And donating online is super easy. You just go to kboo.fm/give, and there's a button on there, and it's very easy. You put in your information,
yep.
and then done. And I think you were saying earlier that you have something, it just automatically every month,
yes.
your credit card gets debited.
Yeah, it's so easy. And it's, you know, it's a small enough amount that, you know, every month it doesn't
break the bank
so much.
Yeah.
But
it helps the
over
station.
The course of the
yeah.
year. It's yeah. And so just as an example, you know, for $10 a month, you can get that kind of a donation. There's Democracy Now! T-shirt. We've got a bunch of thank you gifts here that we're more than happy to give you. Call in, tell them what you're looking for. We got a hoodie here. We suggest $25 a month for that KBOO hoodie. It's really excellent.
It's a beautiful hoodie.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways to give. And here's another thing. Even though we're asking for donations right now, money is not the only way to participate. Money is not the only way to be a member here at KBOO. There's lots of volunteer opportunities, including if you want to make the investment of time to learn how to approach this, you can be on the air.
You could be
a voice on the air here at KBOO. This is a community.
Full disclosure, Jean and I are volunteers.
Yes, we are.
And we come to the station as much as we can. We try to help out as much as we can. And the program that you're listening to, so Preference and Transpositive, PDX, and Is It You or Is It Me, these are programs that are all on the air because thousands of people have memberships at KBOO, and every little bit adds up. Personally, I donate once a year, so at Christmas time, at the holiday time, I put in my amounts that I send to all the organizations that I care about. And so whatever way works for you, works for the station.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking this is kind of about the time of year when a lot of people might maybe be getting some of that money back from that nasty federal government, you know, and it's like, aren't you glad that they don't have it? And wouldn't you love to see a little piece of that tax return money maybe go to do some good here at the station, you know?
For sure.
It doesn't have to be much.
You can support independent radio. Independent radio, there's so much richness that happens through the different avenues that the station incorporates, whether it's through music, whether it's through news, public affairs, spoken word.
Yep.
The amount of programming that happens at this station is insane.
It is so incredibly diverse, you know. I mean, I don't listen to it 24/7, obviously. I got to sleep sometime, but you know, it's just amazing the kind of programming that is that's being shared here at KBOO.
And especially if you're part of the queer community, part of the trans community, part of the LGBTQ community, having a show like this for you to access. I know last week on Transpositive, there was a show about electrology, which is like a great thing for people to learn about, to know about. I know that's a huge thing in the trans community and also in my community.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're not that we're the only ones who can speak authoritatively about something like that, but what we can do is we can give you kind of the local bent on it. We can talk about nuance that you're not going to get someplace else.
Exactly.
And that's kind of the stuff. So, you know, call us, be a member. $5 a month, a $10 one time, whatever you can do. KBOO.FM online, hit that donate button, and 877-500-5266. There are operators standing by.
And we're going to throw it back to Alan and his guests. Thank you so much, Jean.
Yeah, thank you, Soumya.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Jean and Soumya, for letting our listeners know how they can participate in community radio, become a member of the station, and support the work that so many great folks are doing here, and that we do for you, that we bring this radio to you, for you. A little later this hour on Preference, we're going to talk with Sasha Buchert, former local yokel, former KBOO volunteer and program host, and past queer hero.
Yes.
So let's talk Queer Heroes. This is a project of GLAPN, the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest.
Okay. In 2011, the staff at Q Center at the time asked if it would be possible to choose and announce a queer hero for every day in June. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, yeah, I guess we can do that. You know, it didn't seem like much of a problem. So we did, and we're going into year 8 now. Somewhere along the line, I realized we were actually writing history. Mm. By recognizing members of the queer community who probably wouldn't get recognized any other way. We have settled the qualifications to be a queer hero, to nominate a queer hero, is just anyone, straight ally or any color of the LGBTQ rainbow, living or dead, who has done anything in service to the queer community over the years. We chose the we chose risk, sacrifice, service, example, and inspiration as our criteria. That means that the program directors, salaried people who are not taking a particular risk but are inspirational can be considered. It also means that the person who has worked for 20 or 30 and sometimes 40 years without ever getting elected to any office or without ever being recognized anywhere, but they show up all the time. They are also queer heroes. Our community is made out of people like that. They deserve recognition and nomination. You can nominate a queer hero by going to glapn.org. That's G-L-A-P-N. Right in the middle of the front page, there is a lightning bolt link to a nomination form that will ask you who you are and will ask you to tell everything you can possibly tell us about why your queer hero deserves the recognition. And then if you got a picture, you can upload it right there. We will pull a committee together. I've been using committees composed entirely of former queer heroes for the past several years. We'll pull a committee together, select 30 of them. They will we'll put their pictures and bios on posters, which will go up in the Q Center gallery. And we're having a reception at Q Center for them, for all of the heroes, living and dead. Well, the dead ones we don't really expect to show up, but all of the former queer heroes on the 13th of June in the evening at Q Center. Let's see, what am I forgetting?
The deadline for nominations is
April 15th.
So that's Monday?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of time. You know, when I get up in the morning on the 16th, I'm going to download all those nominations. And there's 80-some of them right now on the website. I'll download them and pull that all together and start meeting with the committee to select 30 for this year. And we'll start announcing them on the 1st of June on our Facebook page and on our website.
Wonderful. So, folks, you can get your submissions in by Monday the 15th for who you think should be recognized as a queer hero in our area. What is the geographic range? If that question makes sense.
Well, we call ourselves the Archives of the Pacific Northwest. We are generally Portland-based, but I really like to reach out into the smaller towns, smaller communities around. There are folks who didn't give up, didn't come to the big city, who realize that the person that sells them groceries or pumps their gas probably hates their guts and have stuck it out in small towns anyway, and we like to hear from those people. It's part of the history that we don't have a real good handle on, and we're not likely to find out unless somebody tells us.
Yeah, are there folks studying rural queer lives in this area? I remember seeing a book about a coffee shop, actually, about gay man in the rural Midwest. And then there was a film that came through a few years ago that was about queer farmers in sort of the South and Midwest who were, you know, are there folks doing that kind of work?
Well, Peter Bogue's work covers LGBTQ history of the West. Generally, Redressing the West, I think, is one of his books.
Yep.
As we talked before, there's a lot of work on the women's lands movement, and the Oregon Historical Quarterly certainly has covered some topics of rural LGBTQ history. And then through the I know it's been a mission of GLAAPN to expand Oregon's idea of LGBTQ history to outside of Portland through the Capstone Project that we sometimes help with at Portland State University through oral histories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Melissa and I were discussing before we came on the air. Capstones, oral history projects. Mm-hmm. So there's 25 years of great work that students have been able to participate in. Let's talk about some current and past queer heroes.
Okay, we have been sort of deliberately all over the map with a lot of people of color. About a quarter of our queer heroes, all told, have been people of color, folks in the community who have worked. Sometimes they have worked to advance the cause of LGBTQ cause generally, and then they have worked again in their own community to protect themselves from white people. But that is sort of the way that has worked out over the years. A lot of great people there. But we have for 1 year, all I'm thinking of a woman who was nominated by several members of the trans community. She started as in a beauty salon, and then did a lot of hair and nails and makeup for drag queens, and wound up working with trans women. Who actually ran a bed and breakfast, a little resort, just for women who were trans women who were on the verge of coming out and needed that particular help. It was a niche that didn't occur to me, but why would it occur to me anyway? I'm thinking of I'm blanking on the name right now, but the woman who took the Irv Lind Florists women's fast pitch softball to the World Series in the 80s. Portland was a hot place for women's softball at the time. The Irv Lind Florists were a spectacular team. We have one of the founders of the APANO, the Asian Pacific Islander organization, who is now on the Oregon Supreme Court. She was a queer hero.
I believe Cameron Witten, right? Also now executive director of Q Center.
He's not on our list at the moment.
Oh.
But go ahead. All right.
Mr. Witten is certainly a future queer.
Right.
Yeah. All these, he has been heroic all along, is, inspirational and sacrificial, too. Mm-hmm. One of the things about being queer in Portland still and being a queer leader in Portland still, is that you can get beat up after work on your way to the car. You're still not particularly, we're still not always safe. And some people on the cutting edge are a little bit less safe than some of the rest of us.
Let's remind folks how they can submit folks to possibly be part of the Queer Heroes Project in June.
Okay, go to glaapn.org, GLAPN. org. Right in the middle of the front page, I created a link that has a lightning bolt on it. You click on that, it'll open a form that allows you. I ask you to identify yourself so we can track you down with more questions, and it allows you to nominate your queer hero, to tell us as much as you possibly can about that person, and it gives you the opportunity to upload a picture if you have one.
And submissions are due by Monday, April 15th. And the unveiling of this year's 30 Queer Heroes will be in June.
That's right. All of the pictures will go up in the Q Center Gallery on June the 1st. And we will have a reception for all of the heroes on June the 13th. Watch for that on glaapn.org or on the Q Center calendar.
Wonderful. Robin, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us to talk about Glappin and the Queer Heroes Project. We very much look forward to seeing it. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's talk with Jean and Soumya again about how you listeners can help us as community radio to thrive.
Thank you, Alan, and thank you, guests, for talking about Queer Heroes. That was an amazing interview.
Yes, it was.
So, Jean, what presents do you have for me?
Oh, presents? Well, gosh, we've got a bunch of them. You know, I'm looking up here on the wall, and here, you know, here's one that's really easy. For $5 a month, there's a $60 pledge. You can get a KBOO beanie, stocking cap. With the wonderful KBOO logo on it.
I love that beanie.
Yeah, you know, it's great. So easy to do. You know, that's just an example. We have a number of different thank you gifts, and that's what they are. You're not buying a beanie. You're donating. You are joining. You're joining a team here. This is a membership drive. It's not just a fundraiser.
Definitely. Yep. And being a member of KBOO was probably one of the best things that happened to me when I moved to Portland. Mm-hmm. I moved here about 2.5 years ago and became a member about a year after I moved here. And I started listening to the radio station. I met a friend who volunteered here, and I just totally fell in love with the station and haven't left since. Okay. And it's such a privilege to be able to donate money to the station and support
as well as our time.
Yes.
You bet. Exactly. I do both.
Yes. And it's a privilege to be able to do that. And I feel very strongly that organizations such as KBOO are models for organizations all around the city, all around the world. We are incredibly diverse, incredibly inclusive. There's so many, like there's 500 volunteers who work here, and we're always working together, making things happen, making radio happen.
Yeah. You know what, you said something just a second ago that just really kind of keyed me on something. KBOO rebroadcasts on 104.3 down in the Willamette Valley,
mm-hmm.
and 91.9 FM out in the Gorge.
Mm-hmm.
I used to live out in the Gorge. And I'm talking to you folks out there. I'm talking to you folks out in the Gorge, talking to you folks down in the valley. You know, maybe you're listening in McMinnville or Corvallis or mm-hmm. Mosier or mm-hmm. Lyle or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're talking about community, we're not just talking about Portland.
Correct.
This is for all of us, for you out there too. And you know something? I've been picking up phones, and I've been here in the Donation Central for a while, and we need to hear from you people out there. We know you're listening. We know you're out there.
We want you to call in.
Yeah, and I know that it feels like Portland's a long way away sometimes, but you know what? That's what we're doing here. We're building community that's way beyond just the Portland metro area.
Especially if you are a queer person in any of those towns.
Absolutely. You're not going to hear this on, you know, one of your local radio stations mm-hmm. down there. That's
for
darn sure.
And so you're going to be tuning in to hear voices like yours, to be learning information, to hear about all kinds of events that are happening in the city and movies that are happening created by queer people.
And not just events, I mean information. Mm-hmm. Information
that's
usable to all of us no matter where we are. Hey, so listen, it's so easy to be a member. It's so easy to donate online, kboo.fm. Just type that in, and the homepage comes up. The donate button is right there. Or call us now. Make these dang phones ring. It's been too darn quiet during this hour. Come on, you guys.
And if there's something that here that you've heard Gene or I saying that speaks to you, we really want you to call. We really want you to help us keep the station running.
Absolutely. And that number is 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Call us now. Do it. Don't wait.
Don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Just do it now.
Yeah.
You'll feel good. You can go out for a walk after.
There
have
you
a
go.
Drink.
Yeah, don't do it for us. Do it for you.
Yeah, do it for you. One thing I wanted to highlight was what the money goes for when we get donations. So all the equipment at KBOO, the staff at KBOO, all of the paperwork that you see, all of the material, all of the music.
And it's not a big staff. This is a skeleton crew that keeps this place going,
yes.
Along with all of the volunteer hours.
And they are the most dedicated staff on the planet. They are a small group of people really making beautiful things happen here. Mm-hmm. And we are so lucky to have the staff at Kibu who care so much. And they work so, so hard.
There went the phone. Yay. Somebody's hearing us.
Someone's listening. Someone is hearing what we're saying and is excited about supporting Kibu. We have about 30 seconds to just tell you more about the station.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah, no worries. Actually, you know, the fact that you can hear us or stream us, you know, you can hear us on your FM dial, but you can also stream us. And another thing is that all of our programming is archived. It's easy. You don't have to listen to us in real time. You can listen to this kind of programming at your convenience by going to kboo.fm and, you know, typing in the search box for particular shows. Most all the programming is available for you to stream later as podcast. We're reaching out to you in so many different ways, and we need you to participate. Be a member. KBOO.FM online. Hit that donate button and call us 877-500-5266. Do it now.
Yes, do it now. Okay, so we're going to throw back to Alan. Alan has a guest coming up and has some more information for you. So we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jean.
All right. Thank you, Soumya.
Thank you, Jean and Soumya. Just to give you a little flavor of what's coming up on Preference, this is the Queer Boo Hour. So we have a queer trans-themed show every Tuesday between 6 and 7. Here's a look at what we have scheduled for Preference coming up. In 2 weeks, we'll be talking with local poet Nastasia Minto, and also with Deb Kemp and Molly King. They are the organizers of the Queer Documentary Festival that happens every year. The next week, we're going to talk about a lesbian literature reading group that meets at another read-through. It's a bookstore in Mississippi. In May, so far, we've got lined up with Aria Saeed. She is organizer of the Transgender Cultural District in Compton. And in June, we've got an hour set aside to talk with folks who are organizing Portland's Trans Pride March and celebration. So that's a little look at what we've got coming up, the kind of programming that we bring to you here on KBOO. Sasha, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. And I was really excited to hear that you're going to have Aria Saeed on your program. Aria has been a huge leader down in the Bay Area. She was pivotal in, as you said, setting up, I don't want to steal her thunder, but I'm excited to hear that segment because she was really responsible for driving a lot of work and creating a historical section of San Francisco where the Compton riots took place as a trans district there. So super excited to hear that.
Yeah, I guess there's also, and I don't know anything about it other than I read a brief news article on it, a leather cultural district in San Francisco now.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. That's great.
The city blessing, part of their pitch for why people should visit San Francisco. Yeah.
Let's get one in Portland. Or y'all should get one in Portland.
Sasha, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on your program.
Yeah. Do you want an introduction from me? Do you want to do it yourself?
No, it's fine. We don't have to do an introduction. Hi, Portland. I'm Sasha. I miss you. thanks for everybody. Can I put a pitch in right away?
Yeah, please.
So I'm the former volunteer at KBOO and just want to say how much I enjoyed being able to contribute to community radio and how great of an experience it was and is to listen to the programming on the station, whether it's shows like this or, you know, the great music, you know, that isn't payola music on the mainstream stations. It's really a gem, and just would encourage people, if you're on the fence and thinking about, you know, donating or contributing, I just would really urge you to take a minute and you know and support you know, with your money if you have it. If you don't, there's plenty of volunteer opportunities, but just to get involved. It's been a great experience, and it's a huge asset, but it's community driven, as they say, so it's us. So just would put a call out for people to get involved.
Wonderful. And Sasha also is responsible for naming preference, so and indirectly for making it happen, so thank you for that. Let's talk about equality now. Capital E, capital N.
Yeah. So I think you're referring to the hearing today. I am from Portland, but I moved away a few years ago, and I work in D.C. at Lambda Legal and work on policy stuff a lot of times. And one of the exciting things that's been happening here is that we've taken back the House, as everybody knows, and there's been some positive movement on several pieces of legislation on behalf of LGBT people in the last few months. You know, they'll probably get log jammed and not move in the Senate, but, you know, it's really important to show that, you know, this is, you know, viable legislation. You know, it's going to move equality forward, you know, by, you know, moving through committee hearings and smoking out oppositional arguments from opposition, and for a whole lot of reasons. It's been really helpful to have hearings, and the Equality Act is a piece of legislation that's been worked on for a few years now, 3 or 4 years. And before it was the Equality Act, it was called ENDA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And so it's really ENDA, a much broader version of ENDA that encompasses, you know, housing. It's not just employment protections, it encompasses housing and credit and jury service and public accommodations. And so, you know, I won't bore people with all of the detail, but it's a really important comprehensive non-discrimination bill that we need to advance, so that, you know, especially for people that live in places, parts of the country where there aren't state level non-discrimination protections like there are in Oregon, it's just really important that we move that forward to protect everybody, so that everybody can go to work and or be safely housed or not be turned away in a business or et cetera for who they are or who they love. So it was a hearing today. The news is there was a hearing today, and it was a really positive hearing. It's the second one that's been held in the House on the bill. And there were some nasty things said, I'm not going to lie. The ranking member, you know, is a Republican, and, you know, right out of the gate decided he was going to refer to transgender people as the wrong pronoun, and that was, you know, an unfortunate misstep. But the witness that they called, you know, definitely agreed that LGBT people should be protected under the law, but just felt like it should be done a different way. So if that's the best they have, it's clearly not very much. So and the folks that were there to testify were really deeply moving. There was a mother of a transgender daughter who was talking about her experience of experiencing discrimination in Texas, and how, you know, how they were able to find, you know, a safe school for her, and how she's been able to thrive and be herself and to live authentically, and how powerful of an experience that was. So really, really positive, upbeat hearing. So a lot of momentum behind that. You know, it'll move for a floor vote now at some point, probably in the next couple of weeks.
Wonderful.
Oh, and Representative Bonamici was, am I pronouncing her name right? She's at Oregon First District, I think. Representative was the presiding, was the chair of the committee today. So that was neat.
Wonderful. So does that mean that Bonamici had a role in bringing it forward, or just sort of chaired the hearing? Does that make question make sense?
Yeah, I mean, she's a strong supporter of the legislation, and I believe she's a sponsor, but I think that she happens to chair the committee that the bill content got sent to that required a hearing. It's the Education and Labor Civil Rights Subcommittee. So that's because of the content of the legislation that addresses employment and education issues, it got referred to that committee for a hearing. So it was a little bit of a coincidence, but you know, she's been a strong supporter, and was really great today. It was really tender to watch her interact with the mother and her daughter today and before the hearing began, and to see her in action. It was really, you know, made me proud to be an Oregonian.
Yeah, wonderful. You're not optimistic about this going further than a vote in the House, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, and I should add that Senator Merkley is the original sponsor of it and author, so he's been a huge champion for it too. But yeah, you know, unfortunately, with the White House being what it is and the Senate being what it is, you know, it's unlikely that Senator McConnell's going to pick the legislation up and allow it to advance in the Senate. But who knows? You know, we're doing our work, our due diligence, you know, on both sides, and talking to people about, you know, supporting it, and we'll continue to do that. But it's just a different world, you know. It's a striking difference in tone and feeling from the Senate side to the House side right now. So, you know, 2020 is coming up quick, and you know, we've seen a lot of states turning more and more purple in Arizona. Of course, we know that Senator Flake was replaced by Senator Sinema, which was, you know, great, and we're hoping to see that kind of advancement in Colorado and Florida and other places. So
we call them upgrades.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, another.
Oh, yeah, please.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Please.
There was another bill that, you know, got some traction as well, so that was a welcome step forward. The Violence Against Women Act also was voted on in the House, and it's got a section in there that is helpful for trans women who are incarcerated to make sure that they're housed, you know, that their input is taken under consideration about where they would feel the most safe. Which is a, you know, very different approach than the way the Trump administration has tried to roll back protections for incarcerated trans folks. So that would, in that, as move forward again, that who knows what will happen, you know, with the Senate version of the Violence Against Women Act. But that was positive. And there was also another positive development in the House side, was a resolution that was authored by Representative Kennedy, which was a resolution supporting in opposition to, sorry, the ban on open transgender military service. And there were some really great floor speeches, including, you know, speeches from Senator Pelosi Congresswoman Pelosi, Chair Pelosi, and Hoyer, and a lot of other folks that, you know, came up and took the time to, you know, talk about the need for equality and so many other issues supported that. So that was a helpful development in the House side too. So there's a lot of energy on LGBT issues specifically, and a lot of issues, oversight issues on the House side. So that's been really nice. A welcome break after the last 2 years.
Indeed. Let's come back to the tell us about the law, Sasha, segment of preference. We're gonna talk. With you and I are going to talk with Jean and Somia.
Alan is the host, so.
You know, great.
About about how folks can participate in community radio, how you can contribute, how you can help us bring good radio to you.
So everyone's on the air. Alan, Sasha, I have Guinevere and Jean and myself.
Oh, wonderful.
And so we're all going to pledge together, because that's amazing. And that's what Queer Boo's about.
Yes, it is. And we're going to start by
jumping
telling
right
you.
In.
We're going to jump right in and say the number to call is 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. And you can also donate online at kboo.fm. and you know, type that in and hit that web page, and there's that very prominent hard to miss donate button. Just do
it's
that.
It's a huge button.
It's a big
huge button.
Button. It's massive.
It is.
Yeah.
So KBOO's bringing these programs to you, and thank you, Alan, for being here. Soumya, for doing the board.
Thank you, Alan.
Alan puts on Preference at least once a month. Mm-hmm. All these shows are brought to you, you know, in an effort to expand our community out, to bring people in so that they can experience the community, hear what's going on, participate in all of the different discussions and actions and everything else that's going on. So when you donate to KBOO, you're donating to keeping this whole process going. And so, you know, if you've got home and you're sitting there and your phone is close, pick it up and give us a call at
877-500-2566. 877-500-5266.
Yeah.
And as Sasha mentioned, you can also volunteer at the station. And Sasha, can you just talk a little bit more about your volunteerism with KBOO?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. And also, I just want to make sure we don't forget, I need to renew my membership. So
yes,
before,
of course.
Don't let me hang up.
Right.
Do it now during this hour, quick.
Yeah, I will. But I just want to also, to answer your question, it was one of the most richest volunteer experiences I've ever had. So I got a chance to work with Jenka and the news team, you know, awesome. For a while, and that was thrilling. Got to, you know, learn so much about so many different civil rights issues, you know, and researching stories, you know, for the news hour, news half hour. So it was, you know, extremely helpful in opening my eyes to so many issues that I just didn't know about before. And, you know, people, I think, appreciate the breadth of coverage that KBOO provides. And please don't take it for granted, you know. And then also, I was helped, you know, I was able to get involved with Out Loud. It's changed the preferences now, but worked on Out Loud and with Carla and Rebecca Nay for a couple of years. And that was also an amazing experience. Got to talk to so many queer and trans activists and artists, you know, especially around the Portland area, you know, and just got to, you know, help, you know, be, play a role in you know, getting their work out to the larger community through KBOO and using the, you know, public radio to help amplify their stories and their art. So just would encourage people to please take a minute and, you know, whether it's, you know, a dollar or whatever you can contribute, it really means a lot. Really important that people contribute.
Every little bit helps, and I think it's really important too that I think in the last few preferences you've been on the air, Sasha, talking about queer issues, about legal issues, and having that perspective is hugely important for people who may not know the nuances of the law and just all of that information. I don't hear that on mainstream media.
No, we don't. Yeah, and that's, again, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we bring. It's, you know, it's not just topical, it's granular. It's getting down it's getting down into the nuance of some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, any amount that you donate is appreciated. And, you know, I'm not sure if we started with an amount we're asking for during this show.
You know, not specifically.
But, you know, if you can do $10 a month, it can come out of your checking account, your credit card. It's easy to set up. We have people sitting on the phones here waiting for your call. And there's all different kinds of ways and all different kinds of amounts. So give us a call at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
And even if you're curious, just go to the website and look at that huge donate button.
Yeah.
Just go look at it.
Just look at it and then click it.
Yeah,
we all like getting our button pushed, you know.
Yeah, we sure do. Okay, so we're going to throw back to Alan and he will wrap up Preference for us. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Alan.
And Sasha, you're still on the line.
Fabulous. So we've got a few minutes, Sasha. What else is happening? Can you hear me? Well, perhaps we're not. Perhaps we'll.
No, sorry, Alan. I can hear you. I was on mute. Sorry, everybody.
Okay, what else? You work for Lambda Legal. What is Lambda Legal working on? It's not. These aren't just federal issues. We hear about these gruesome legal developments in Tennessee, but in other states, things continue to progress. So, do you have a sort of? I mean, we only have a couple of minutes, but do you sort of have a feel for the field that you can sum up for folks when it comes to state and local legislation? That's a huge question. For
go. Stop. No, I think I'll just maybe mention one thing that I'm working on specifically is that I'm excited to help with other groups that are working on a bill in California, which would make California the third state, to make sure that folks who are incarcerated, that who are trans, are housed consistently with their gender identity or wherever they would feel the most safe. Mm. You know, we know that trans folks in prisons and jails experience really high rates of sexual assault and assault generally, and it's just really important that, you know, they're not housed based on anatomy. You know, people, it's just really, really important. Based on the study after study, so we've seen positive legislation like this move in a couple of states already. So California has a bill now that I'm helping to move forward, and I'm not sure what the situation is in Oregon. I know that the ACLU has championed some really great work in making sure that at least in one case a transgender woman is being housed appropriately. But hopefully we'll see similar legislation moving in Oregon and Washington and other progressive parts of the country. So that's one positive thing. It seems a lot of advancement in the decriminalization of HIV. Recently, Illinois, just in the last they advanced a bill that would help with that. And we've also seen advancements in removing categorical exclusions for transition related health care treatments under Medicaid plans in different states. So those are some things that are very, very current that are happening that I think are exciting and uplifting in this dark moment in our nation's capital, which is only going to be dark for another year or two. So we're quickly eclipsing the black hole that is the Trump administration. So if folks are bored, that was a pleasure to watch the House Oversight Committee hearings. You can go onto the website and check those out. Those are always available, and they're definitely much different to witness now that the House has changed hands. So it's just been, but anyway, I'll stop talking. Thanks, Portland. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Sasha. Thanks for everything you do.
I got you.
We have Calculated Conversation coming up next. I hear a phone ringing. That'd be somebody making a pledge. I hope you'll be one of the folks who calls next. We would love to hear from you and have you help us make community radio thrive. We're here for you. This is your station, and we invite your participation, whether you can make a contribution or you can volunteer, spend some time with us making radio happen. This has been Preference. Again, Calculated Conversation is coming up next. It's time for Spacer.
Thank you.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by The Waffle Window, with multiple locations in Portland and Bridgeport. With a specialty in savory and sweet waffles, The Waffle Window offers seasonal specialties with a twist, serving breakfast and lunch, open daily from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. or later. Lunch was provided by Godey's Texas Style Barbecue, located in Vancouver, Washington at 15640 Northeast 4th Plain Road. Open Tuesday through Sunday, Godey's serves southern cuisine such as barbecue and sandwiches for lunch and dinner. Dinner was provided by Radio Room, located in Northeast Portland at 1101 Northeast Alberta Street. Open daily from 9 a.m. to 2 a.m., Radio Room is a lounge that serves new American cuisine and drinks. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of PDX Short Docs on Sunday, April 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mission Theater in Portland. PDX Short Docs is a two-hour program of Portland-related short documentaries created by local filmmakers. This year, there will be several virtual reality short documentaries included in the 6 to 7 p.m. part of the screening. There will also be a Q&A with many of the filmmakers. Again, that's PDX Short Docs on Sunday, April 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mission Theater, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing, you ain't had a chance to